You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, church. Good to be with you this morning once again. Before I start, there are some books over here which Jill will be with after the meeting. There's half a dozen of that last booklet I did on the lessons of life. If anyone missed out on that, there's half a dozen there. And I had need to reprint an older booklet some years ago, and there's some left over. The Doctrine of God, which gives you 20 names of God, and every name tells you something about our God. And then the Attributes of God, describing what the Bible tells us about God, and then a chapter on the Trinity. So those books are over there. $5 for the Lessons of Life and $3 for the Doctrine of God. So both of those are below cost. Well, this morning we have number 7 of Spiritual Experiences of Life and some of the lessons from those experiences. And this morning I'm going to tackle divine healing, the healing ministry. Now, I like to have about 6 hours for this. Well, that's what I used to in having healing campaigns, particularly in Europe. We go for 7 nights, and for 6 nights, I give an hour's talk first. So what I've done is selected some key issues, because you can't deal with healing in 40 minutes, but we'll do what we can. First thing I need to say is that divine healing is scriptural and actually takes place on the ground. There is no doubt about divine healing. The scriptures are full of it. And I'm going to put, I think, 5 of them, if we could have them up. 5 scriptures up. But today I'm having to travel quickly, so we won't be able to stop and discuss anything. The first scripture is Exodus 15, verse 26, where God says, "I am the Lord that heals you if you obey my word. I am the Lord that heals you." So that's a healing covenant that God has made with his people. Next, Isaiah 53. Should be Isaiah 53.
Number 2 is Psalm 103.
Ah. Scriptures say women should be quiet and to... Makes me think of the book of Revelation, which says there was half an hour's silence in heaven. Some people say that proves there's no ladies in heaven. I don't believe that. Okay, we'll still have Isaiah 53 second. The best verses are 2 to 6. I've only got 2 up there, but verses 2 to 6 if you're making notes. And those verses are a wonderful prophecy of Calvary, which we could spend the whole morning on, just those verses. And they tell us that the Lord Jesus took and carried our sorrows and our griefs to the cross. And an equal translation for those two words, for sorrows, you could substitute pains, and for griefs, you can substitute sicknesses. They are equally correct translations. The Lord Jesus took our pains and sicknesses to the cross. And further on in those verses, it says, and by his stripes we are healed. Then Psalm 103 says, God heals all our diseases. And coming to the New Testament, Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17, says that the Lord Jesus took and bore our infirmities and sicknesses to the cross, of course. And in 1 Peter 2:24, that's confirmed. And lastly, we have Mark 16, verse 16, where the Lord Jesus said to heal the sick and cast out demons. So there's plenty of scriptures, there's only a small selection. But what I'd like to do is give you some actual examples of healings, of which I could talk again for a long time, because I've seen so many miraculous healings. First one is a couple whom Jill and I knew in Adelaide, and they had several children, and the youngest, a daughter, had polio when she was a child and completely wrecked her leg, which was virtually a stick right from the top down. And it had a metal brace under her foot and strapped to her leg all the way up, and a belt round her waist and attached to that. She was a complete cripple. Just throw that metal frame forward and move forward on it. Oral Roberts. Now, many of you won't know of him. This is in the early 50s I'm talking about. Oral Roberts was a worldwide divine healer, having incredible miracles and healings. And he came to Sydney and Melbourne in the early 50s. He went to Sydney first, and this couple, who were ardent Anglicans, were pressed by other members of the family to go to Sydney and take the little girl to Oral Roberts' meetings. So reluctantly they did go, booked into a hotel, went to the first night. The presence of the Lord was so real to them that even though they were dedicated Anglicans, they responded to the call for salvation and went forward. And the next day they got healing tickets, because immediately they realized the presence of God was there and perhaps this little girl of theirs could be healed. So the next night, having healing tickets meant they got up to the front of the healing line, and finally they're standing in front of Oral Roberts. He's sitting on a chair on the platform, and he takes this little girl, she's about 10 at the time, takes her onto his knee, and he prays quietly to himself, or to God, of course, but not openly. And then he looks at the parents and he says, take the, take the brace off her leg, because God is going to heal her tonight. So they unstrapped her, took the brace off, and he laid hands on that leg, and before their eyes and before 12,000 people in that tent, that leg grew into a normal leg. He put her down. He said, walk across the platform. She did that. The crowd went wild, of course. And have to make the story short, but she became a normal little girl. She played tennis. She swam. She rode horses. She finally got married and had children. That was an incredible creative miracle and as easily can be checked. Second one I want to tell you about was a brother who was in our assembly when we were down at the Kew Chapel. And Norm Armstrong, who was Oral Roberts' representative in Australia, used to come to us once a year and have a week-long healing campaign. This brother in our assembly, Norm Campbell, he came out from Ireland, I think at the same time as Ken and Dorothy Gardner, and he had had, back in the old country, a serious accident that had mangled his leg. The doctors had done what they could with it. There were hunks of flesh missing from the leg. The foot was damaged, and the leg was much shorter than the other leg, and he wore a built-up boot to make them level. Again, I'll make the story short. Norm Armstrong prayed for him this particular night, and his leg was healed, the foot was healed, and the leg was lengthened. And for some time I had that boot in the lectern at Kew Chapel, which we could hold up as a demonstration of God's healing power. Norm Campbell went to build his own assembly on the other side of Melbourne, and surprisingly, he wanted his boot back to hold up in his church. Ken, are you here? Ken and Dorothy here? Wave your hand if you're here.
Over here.
They're here. Good. I'm glad you told me. I couldn't see your hand. if you want more of that story, Ken and Dorothy, who are just down here, could give you details of that because they are friends of the Campbells. The last one I'll share with you is one of my own healings. this is back in the 70s, and my neck began to lock and I couldn't move my head, and I'd have to force my chin down on my chest and it would crack and become loose, but I'd perspire because of the pain. It was extremely painful. It happened once or twice a day. At the same time, I had a definite consciousness that God was going to heal that. It was quite definite. So I told nobody. I didn't go to a doctor. I just kept it to myself because I was trusting God in this. The end of the first year, it was getting worse. Instead of once or twice a day, it was by then four or five times a day. And the beginning of the second year, it began to lock at night time. And I'd lie there for a long time because I didn't want the pain of forcing my chin down and breaking whatever was causing the locking. I'd been asked to go over to America to a large Baptist convention as the guest speaker at a place called Aloha in Oregon. And Jill and Pam came with me. And when we got there, we found that Catherine Kuhlman was coming to the city next to Aloha. That's Portland in Oregon. So I asked the convener of the convention, could we go? It was an afternoon meeting. He said, yes, we'll release you and I'll send a pastor in with you, take you there, but you'll need to get there many hours earlier because of the crowds. So we got there several hours earlier, already big crowds waiting to get in. And again, I haven't time to tell you the story, but we all got in separately, but we made it into the building. Catherine Kuhlman, who was like Oral Roberts had been, was a worldwide healing, a divine healer, and just had incredible and wonderful miracles and healings. And she came onto the platform and started preaching before the healing meeting started. And I was writing her message. She was talking about a sacrificed life to Christ. And suddenly my neck cracked. I'm sure people around about me heard it. And from that moment to this, and that was over 40 years ago, my neck has never locked. Why did it happen then before the healing meeting started? I have no idea, except the presence of the Lord was very real there. And we saw many miracles there. It was like the book of Acts. Plenty of people didn't get healed. Plenty of people went out in their wheelchairs, but many, many had miraculous healings in front of our eyes. That's just three illustrations. I've had 20 significant healings. I call them all miracles because they are. And I just praise God for my definite knowledge that God heals today. Next, what's the origin of sickness? There's no doubt the origin is Satan. In Acts 10 and verse 38, it said the Lord Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus healed of just about every sickness, disease, and infirmity you could think about. And every one of them, all, the Bible says, had been oppressed by the devil. The devil's the one who brings sickness into humanity. Let's have the next overhead, please. Very simply, I want to explain what I've just said. Satan has three major weapons. Is that the one that's up?
Yes.
And let's start in the middle. First of all, sin. He's the originator of sin. And from sin comes sickness and disease over on the left. And from sickness and disease and sin comes death. And there are 9 scriptures there just confirming that simple little diagram. Just about everything that Satan does, if not everything, comes under one of those three headings: sin, sickness, and death. Next overhead, please. The Lord Jesus Christ also has three weapons. Starting in the center, he has deliverance from sin and cleansing in his precious blood. Coming over to the left, he also has brought about healing and health. And we looked at five scriptures, but there are dozens that confirm what I'm just saying. I've got 10 scriptures up there on that particular overhead. And because of his deliverance and healing, we finally receive a resurrection, eternal life, and initially go to paradise. And the next overhead, please. And putting the two together, just very simply, starting over on the left-hand side. Number one, Satan puts sickness and disease upon us. The Lord Jesus brings healing and health. In the center, Satan brings sin. The Lord Jesus brings deliverance over the power of sin and cleansing in his precious blood. And lastly, on the far side, Satan brings death and hell for those who are walking with him. And the Lord Jesus brings resurrection, eternal life, and heaven. It's very simple, but there are 18 scriptures on those first two overheads we can't look at today to prove those very simple little diagrams. Thank you, and take those down. Next. Let's give you some of the possible reasons why sometimes our prayers for healing are not answered. And we know that that's true and that happens. First of all, because we have an enemy, Satan. Satan and his demonic hordes. And he intends to stop you, if he can, from being healed. He'll put up obstacles and barriers and difficulties, try and pull your faith down and destroy it. He will do what he can. In John 10 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus said, "The enemy comes but for to steal and kill and destroy." To steal and destroy and kill. The three things he wants to do. He wants to steal your honor. He wants to steal your integrity, your cleanliness. He wants to destroy your marriage, your relationships, your business, your finance, anything he can destroy. And then if he can, he wants to kill you in some way or other. The Lord Jesus said that. That's not an exaggeration. But 1 John 3:8 also says that the Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And he did that. And he overcame Satan and Satan's strongest weapon, which was death, when Jesus was resurrected and finally returned to the throne of God. Satan is a defeated enemy. But God has allowed him, for whatever the purpose might be, to stay active with his demonic horde until the second coming. So we have a defeated enemy, but Jesus said he's still strong and he's still active. And he's the one who's out to destroy you. Now, some months ago, Pastor Graham taught you over several messages very well about spiritual warfare and taught you of what that warfare meant, of the armor that God has provided in Ephesians, of the weapons that the Bible provides, mentioned in Corinthians 10, and he very ably went through the spiritual warfare, the fact we are at war, the armor God has given us, and the weapons he's given us. I hope you've all taken those messages and got them working in your lives. You see, it's no good sitting here on a Sunday and receiving information. We've got to get information. We need it. But if it stops there, it's not going to change your life. What you have to do with that information is take it and put it into effect in your daily life. Got to start living in it, confessing it, walking in it, making it part of your lifestyle. And then it begins to change your life. I hope everyone here took those messages of Pastor Graham, so essential they were. But you've put those messages of his into operation in your life, and that daily you're in that spiritual warfare, drawing that hedge of the Lord he taught you about around your husband, around your wife, particularly around your children these days, drawing that hedge of protection around them from the works of the enemy. I trust that you are doing that. It's not just a message you listen to and then forgot. And I hope the same applies to this message today. So we have an enemy, and he's powerful, and he wants to stop you being healed if he can. And he's very adept at hindering you. Second reason is we have not yet reached the fullness of time. The Bible is a story of God recovering man from his fall and bringing him in a wonderful stream of recovery back to that perfection in which he was originally created. But we're not there yet. We're on the way. We haven't got far to go. I think the second coming's quite close. But we're not there. We're not in the fullness yet. And because we're not in the fullness, we're not seeing the fullness of results. Hebrews 2 and verse 8 says that God has put all things on this planet under the feet, under the control of man. But then it goes on to say, but all things are not yet under his feet. We're not yet in that fullness when all the promises always work all the time. We're on the way. Third reason is unbelief. When Jesus went to Nazareth, people said, he's not the Son of God. He's just Joseph the carpenter's son. And because of their unbelief, the Bible says Jesus could not do many miracles there. Fancy the Lord Jesus Christ not being able to exercise his authority because of unbelief. Such a powerful weapon. Fourthly, there's negativity. Don't be negative. Negativity destroys your faith, can destroy your life. It's a choice you make whether you're going to be positive or negative. And lastly, church doctrine. Church tradition. Some church tradition is wonderful. Some of it's terrible. And let me give you three instances. Some people pray, Lord, if it is your will, I'm asking you to heal me from ABC. Why do you put that excuse in? If it's your will, we know it's his will. Exodus 15:26, I am the God that healed you. Another one, you see, there is an anti-healing movement right through the Christian church across the world. It's very strong. I've heard people teach this from their platform. God sometimes puts sickness upon you or keep sickness upon you to test you, to try you, to make you a better Christian. I believe that's a lie. In the New Testament, and I stress the New Testament, there's no mention that God ever uses sickness and disease to serve his purpose. He causes us to suffer at times, and the Bible makes it clear what that suffering means, the persecution, the difficulties and the obstacles and the pressures, and they're all listed, but never once even a hint that sickness and disease is put upon us by God. If God the Father kept sickness upon us, it means he's going against his own Son, the Lord Jesus, who died terribly to take our sicknesses and diseases. And here people teaching this are teaching that God is teaching that which is opposite to what the Lord Jesus taught. That's blasphemy. I don't even like suggesting it. That's terrible. And yet it's taught from many platforms today. Be careful of church tradition. There's a lot of lies in it. That's why I'm always so careful to try and give you scriptures for everything that I teach you. I might not be interpreting the scripture accurately, but at least you'll have scriptures for every major thing I teach. And I know that Pastor Graham feels exactly the same.
30 minutes.
What's that?
30 minutes.
You didn't listen to me before. Here was I, free as a bird. Now I've only got 10 minutes because of you. I'm married to her. Okay, I have to move on. Right. Next, we'll come. The next overhead, please. Lessons. I think we've got 6 lessons up there, and I've got a couple to add. First of all, God is a healing God. Secondly, you need faith. You don't need a great amount of faith. The Bible says that God has given each of us a measure of faith. We've all got faith. Man brought his bound by demons son to Jesus. Jesus said, "Do you believe?" He said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." He only had a little belief, but God healed that son. You don't have to have a lot of faith, but you need to have faith in the Word of God. Thirdly, you need to be positive. Last month I taught you about miracles, and we use that 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are new. That's the sort of scripture I hope you're taking into your life. Learning it by heart. Applying it. Walking in it. Living it. Confessing it. It's not enough to just hear me say it. You've got to build it into your life as you do other positive scriptures. Then you've got to resist the enemy. And that's that message that Pastor Graham taught you on spiritual warfare. You've got to resist him. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him with those weapons that you've been taught. Never pull your faith down from the Word of God down to your experiences. If you pull your faith down to the level of your experience, you'll lose your faith and then become confused, and your walk will be an unsatisfactory one. Next is number 6, and I haven't time today to deal with the perfect heart. We'll skip that one. There's 2 I want to add.
You missed allow for a time factor.
Time factor, I shouldn't miss that. Okay, thanks. Time factor. There is a time factor sometimes. In many of my healings, I testified on this platform, I needed a hip replacement and God healed, but it took 2.5 years. Last month I testified how God healed my emphysema. The medical world and x-rays has shown I had emphysema. God healed it. That took nearly 2 years. And my neck, that was healed early in the second year. So some of my healings, I've had to wait a long time and just persist and never give up and persist. And as Ephesians said, having done all, to stand. You've got to learn to do that too. Some people come out the healing line, go back, oh, my headache's still there, it didn't work. The lump's still there, it didn't work. Now, hang on, hold on. Never give up, never give up, never give up. The word of God must ultimately prevail in your life. Hallelujah. Now, the medical world, I believe that medicine is, and doctors and the whole of the medical world, is God's first line of defense against sickness and disease. Devil certainly didn't invent it to try and get people well after he's got them sick. No, medicine is one of God's gifts to us. So there's no problem in using medicine. Again, not so much these days, but there was a time when it was quite common to say, well, if you go to a doctor, it shows you haven't got faith in God. See, that's terrible. That's a lie and it's terrible. Medicine is God's first line of defense. And there's nothing to stop you using medicine and at the same time trusting on God to do even beyond what medicine can do and give you a miracle. Use the two together, no problem at all. And lastly, there are a host of questions about healing we can't answer. We don't know. I've given you five possible reasons why sometimes your prayers have not been answered. But there's so many questions and we don't know the answers. So the last overhead, please. And I finish up with this one. First of all, you've got the Word of God. And by faith, you take hold of that word and believe it. Believe it. It's absolutely infallible. Never fails. If it's failed for you, it's not because the word has failed. Some other reason. The Bible is God's word. It's infallible and it will work in your life. And so we start the overcomer's walk, holding on to that word in faith. Now, a crisis comes. Someone you love's died and you've been praying for them. And it hasn't worked for you. Don't let go of the word. Don't pull your faith down to the level of your experience. That's disastrous. Keep holding on to that word and say, Lord, this disaster's happened. I was praying to you and you haven't seemed to respond. I don't know why and no one can tell me why. So I'm taking that question and I'm putting it in this cabinet over here, which I'm calling the mystery, mystery cabinet. Unanswered questions, pull it open, put the question you can't find an answer to in the cabinet, shut the door, trust God, he knows what he's doing. Do you remember Job? And none of us have suffered like Job did. And he said, God, even though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And that's got to be our attitude. And we hang on to that word and we continue our overcomer's walk with complete trust in God's word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, thank you that you are a healing God. We know there are many things that oppose your healing power and endeavor to strip it from us. But Father, we will not let go of your word and we will walk continuously in complete faith in its accuracy. And I thank you for that fact. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. And amen. Now, if the students be good enough to serve communion, I'd like to continue the healing thought into our communion table, because communion deals with health as it does with most things in our life. Today, I want to concentrate on that piece of crumb, of biscuit that we hold. The Lord Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. I allow my body to be broken, that yours might become whole." The Lord Jesus also said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But if any man eat of me, he shall live forever." There's nothing that will stop his eternal life in my presence. Thank you. Give me the crumb. Thank you. "This is my body broken for you." I want you today, if you desire to do it, to not just take the table as a routine thing you do, remembering what Jesus did, for it is a table of remembrance, but it's also used to be called the bread of his presence. It is the bread of his presence. And I want you today, if you're willing or desire, when you partake of this piece of bread, you know by faith you're partaking of the Lord, and I want you to draw into yourself his presence. You're eating the bread of his presence. Draw that presence into your life this morning. He'll come. He wants to come. Draw him in, because in him is every resource you need. And one of those resources is healing. And this morning, because we're talking about healing, as you draw the Lord into your life, draw his presence into your internal life. I want you, if you need healing, to have faith that as his presence comes in, that healing power flows and you will be healed. Now, some people can be healed as they take communion. Others, it can be just another step into that final healing. And each time you take communion is another step into that final healing. But either way, there is healing in this crumb if you are willing to partake of the Lord, to draw his presence into your life this morning and enjoy the wonder of that fellowship with your Lord. I've asked Pastor Andrew if he could play a little chorus I used to love in the old days, and he and Sister Sky are going to sing it to us. The words are very simple. We can put them up on the screen if you would. The words are, "Got any rivers that seem uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through?" Probably a lot of people here with sickness today. You've got a mountain you haven't yet been able to tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what none other can do. We're not going to stand today whilst we have communion. I want us to be able to be relaxed. We'll sing this little song. Let faith build up. We're going to partake of his presence, the cleansing of his blood, and we're going to be quiet for a little while just to let the beauty of his presence work in us. If anybody here at the end feels, or not feels, knows that you've been healed of something, the headache's gone, the lump's gone, whatever's happened, I'd like you to put your hand up and we'll get a microphone to come down to you to testify. Please have the courage to do it, because your testimony can encourage many others here in their faith. So this morning, Pastor, can we sing that little song?